All right, grab a seat unless you're heading down with the kids, and they could always use you to help out down there. But man, as Ashley said, I am so excited to be preaching the book of Revelation. As we were kind of finishing up Galatians and learning about grace, God just kept putting Revelation. He put other things, and I was looking, and I'd be praying, and it'd be like Charlie Brown's teacher as I'd be studying, wah, 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 wah. But every time I just kind of thought about Revelation, every time I started reading the book of Revelation, every time I thought about it, prayed, it was just God was there. And I'm just really excited because I think there's been a lot of misconceptions about things. In fact, if you were to ask anybody, what's the scariest book that is the hardest one for anyone to understand, what would people say? What would you say? The book of Revelation. And think about how silly that is. All right, you know, how many of y'all had a baby reveal? Anybody have baby reveal? You guys had baby reveal, right? Well, and I wasn't there because it was like 9 years ago. Dude, I can't believe they had baby reveals back then. We had to just wait for you to come out. When you came out, like 32 years ago, was that? Yeah, when you popped out, was there any doubt whether you were a boy or a girl? No, dude, I remember they handed me this guava cream cheese pastry. And that was her, and I'm holding her like, oh my goodness, like, you want to cut the umbilical cord? I said, no, I'm good. We have insurance, because I was just thinking about how my mom said, you know, when you tie the belly button, you know, that umbilical cord. I didn't want her to have a bad belly button in case she wanted to wear a bikini. So that's all I'm thinking, like, dude, no, that's your job. You cut the umbilical cord, you know. But there was no doubt. I remember looking down and saying, God, if this was a boy, I don't really need your help, but this is a girl, help! And he gave me prayers to pray for all of them. And of course, if we did have a boy, I would need that help. But that was the reveal. Now, you guys have gender reveals. You can, like, find out. It's amazing what they can find out so early. And I asked Tiny or I asked Emily, hey, how big's your baby? They're like, oh, it's like a Florida avocado now, you know. Oh, it's like a cucumber now. And different. And so you can have the sonograms on it, but you have a reveal. So when you guys had a reveal, what did you use? Did you use, like, fireworks? And so you had what color fireworks? Either pink or blue. Now, in the reveal, was your purpose to confuse people? Did you shoot them off at the same time to make purple? So we'd be like, well, what is it? What is it? No. What did you shoot off? A blue one, because it was to reveal to everybody that Keone was a boy, right? And that's what a gender reveal is. What a reveal is to reveal to people, to uncover and tell them what it is. So I want you to think about it. In fact, what we're going to look at, the very first two words of the book of Revelation, it says the revelation. The revelation. This is God Almighty. God's the expert at what? Everything. Is God the expert at revealing things? Yes, better than you guys with your fireworks. Or Tiny and Sam, they did sumo wrestlers. And they had pink ones and blue ones, and they wrestled. And whichever one won, that's what it was going to be. It was going to be a boy, right? Emily and them, they did a piñata, and, you know, blue stuff came flying out. God is a way better revealer than anybody else is. And so the book starts out as the revelation. And God's going to reveal who Jesus Christ is. And think about how deceptive and tricky Satan has to be when God says, there's a book where I'm going to reveal to you who your hero is, and everybody is scared, going, oh, it's too hard, we can't understand this, it's beyond our... Now, think about how much of a duper, is that a word, a duper, someone who dupes? Satan's a duper! Man, he's duped everybody into believing that you can't understand this book. It's too hard for you. It's too symbolic. It's too... You know what we're going to do? We're going to take a look at it, and you guys are going to have... You're going to see that if you're a believer that wants to follow Christ, dude, he just reveals to you who our hero is. Is it any wonder that Satan doesn't want us to know who the risen Almighty God is, who Christ is in heaven right now, who's praying for you, who's in control, who's taking care of everything, orchestrating everything for you as a believer? Is there any wonder Satan doesn't want us to know? He's got the world scared, including, unfortunately, most believers. God has made this book, and we're going to look at we're probably only going to make it through the first verse today, maybe, because it's so rich. But God has given us this book so we can know who Jesus Christ is. And we can know that he's in control, and we got nothing to worry about. Amen? So when we were doing Galatians, you know, we had our little saying about, you know, it's the gospel of grace that gives us freedom through faith, you know, so that we can bring glory to God. Well, I wanted you to be able to remember that over and over. Here's what we're going to remember every time we start out this message right here. I want you to remember these three things, and they'll be up every time we have a service here. But Revelation is not a scary book if you are a believer. It's not a scary book if you're a believer. He's telling you who our hero is and what he's going to do. And so it's not a scary book if you're a believer. But it is a scary book if you're not a believer. Because you know what? There's a million wrong ways to get to heaven. They all lead to hell. There's only one right way to get to heaven, and that's through Jesus Christ and what he did in shedding his blood on the cross to pay for our sins. There's only one right way. And so the world, you know, many of those paths, those million wrong paths to heaven, they go right through church. They go right through the church. They go right through the preaching that doesn't go with Scripture today. And so if you don't read Scripture and you don't understand the Scripture where Christ is revealing to us the right way, then it's so easy to fall for the wrong way. And it's there. So, again, it's no wonder that Satan doesn't want us to know who our hero is, but it's another thing to even think about the fact that it's no wonder that he wants people to be deceived. That's his name, the deceiver. And so if he can keep you from this book, which is going to tell you exactly the one way, the only way, where Jesus is the way, the truth, the life, no way, nobody comes to the Father but through him. Man, that's the same guy who wrote that in John and got it from God wrote this book through the Holy Spirit. But if you know there's one way, then you can't justify all the wrong ways, all the wrong ways that there are. So Revelation is not a scary book if you're a believer, but if you're not a believer, it should scare the tar out of you. It should, you know what, you got to understand, I'm going to hell when I die if I don't have Christ. And this is what it looks like to have Christ. So it's not a scary book if you're a believer. How many of y'all are believers? It's not scary. It's not scary. It's going to be awesome. Second thing, it is Christ revealing to us who he is. Christ gets to reveal to us who he is in this book. That's what it's about. It's the revelation of Jesus Christ. I know everybody wants to bring their notebooks. They want to bring out their calendars. They want to come up with some end times eschatological calendar of when this is going to happen. And you know what Satan wants to get us to do? He wants to get us to argue over all of these things. Oh, no, this happens first. No, that happens. Then this happens. And all of a sudden, everybody's only caring about some eschatological calendar. That's not why he wrote this book. He is going to tell us how it ends. You will get the big picture, I'll guarantee you. There's a lot of things in timing-wise we may not know. But the point is, he doesn't say, this is the revelation of the end time. That's not what he says. It's a revelation of Jesus Christ. Don't miss the point. The whole point is to know that who Christ is. And so, it's not a scary book if you're a believer, and it's Christ revealing to us who he is in all his glory. We didn't see him in all his glory. When you look at the gospel accounts, you don't see that. You see someone that got, according to the book of Isaiah, got beat beyond recognition. Somebody, it confused the disciples even on the night before he was betrayed. They're still thinking, dude, he's ushering in a kingdom, the golden age. And they couldn't even believe. That's why they scattered when he got crucified. They couldn't understand. Wait, this is not what we were expecting. Because this is not the glorified Christ, but what Revelation does is show us who the glorified Christ is. And when we know who the glorified Christ is, and we know we're his child, oh my goodness, how many of y'all got kids and love your kids? Anybody got kids? You love your kids? How many of y'all got kids and don't love your kids? Okay, good, we're not there. All right, so how many of y'all got kids and love your kids, right? Hey, bro, what would you do for your daughter? You would die for her. You'd do anything for her. And you're a sinful human being. I just met you, bro. But you're welcome. I told you, if we don't scare you off, welcome to the family, man. But listen, you would die for your daughter. You'd do anything for your daughter because you love her. Do you love her nearly as much as Jesus Christ loves her? Do you love her as much as Christ loves you? No, you love her as much as you can. And so we have a perfect Heavenly Father, we have a perfect Son of God, the perfect Savior that loves us more than you could ever love any child of your own. And if you'll do whatever it takes for your child, imagine what he would do for you.
Is it any wonder Satan doesn't want us to know who he is? He loves us, and he's all-powerful. We're going to see a bunch of stuff about that. So Revelation is not a scary book if you're a believer. Christ reveals us to us who he is in all his glory. We're going to look at that some more. This is what we're going to be looking at in this whole book. And look at this last part. He does reveal to us how it all ends. He reveals to us how it all ends, all right? And so if you can, here I just want, every time I say he reveals to us how it all ends, I want you to know we win. We win. Can you throw me up a W, man? I know I can't do it this way because of arthritis, but you do your W any way you want. All right, are you ready? He reveals to us how it all ends, and we what? We win. Dude, you want to make your little eschatological calendar and figure out when this is happening and that? Go right ahead, but don't miss the point. We what? We win. I read how it goes. We win. Oh, my goodness. How many of you, is there any Atlanta Falcon fans here by any chance? By any chance? Yeah, I wouldn't be that way after they take that one Super Bowl. Y'all remember that? You remember they were up like, I don't know, 8,000 to nothing over the New England Patriots at halftime. And everybody was like, oh, yeah, yeah. And they ended up losing like an 8,000-point lead, right? If you would have known in the end of the first half that the Patriots were going to come back and they were going to win. I know y'all aren't betting people, but how many of y'all would have bet it all? If you'd have known how it was going to end, how many of y'all would have bet it all on the Patriots? Even if you didn't like Tom Brady and Belichick and how they cheated all the time and all of that. But I'm just saying, man, if you know how it's going to end, you can bet it all on it. The world bets on things where they don't know how it's going to end. Guess what? We know how it's going to end and we win. It's guaranteed. So that's why Christ says you can bet it all on him. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything you need will be added unto you. You don't have to play both sides of the card. You don't have to play, oh, people walking the fence. There is no fence. You're either for him or you're against him. It's all or nothing. And that's what we learn in the book of Revelation. You're for him or you're against him. And he's saying, I'm going to tell you how it ends. We win. You can bet it all. You wouldn't waste one second of your life living it for him, because in the end, we win. We're like the Patriots behind 8,000 points in this world right now. The world looks at us and says, how can you be a Christian? How can you follow Christ? How can you? You know what? Because we win. We know how it's going to end. And God Almighty has told us, and he's going to see to it that it does end. Amen? That way. So this is what we're looking at every single time. It's going to have something to do with this. That's just what the book is about. So let's go ahead and take a look. JJ, let's go to verse 1. I'm not even going to try to use this thing because I watched you use it last week, and now you know it doesn't work either. It's not just me. All right. It may have to do with how many times I've dropped it, but I don't know. All right. So look at this. Here's Revelation, verse 1 through 3. I'm just going to read this first part real super quick, and we're going to go back, and like I said, we're going to be lucky to get through this part right here. Look at this, the revelation, this verse 1, this is how he opens up, the revelation. So if this is the revelation, God is now going to do what? What's the whole purpose of the book? He's going to what? Reveal. How many of y'all been on the beach and you saw things that somebody shouldn't reveal? But don't be going to Blind Creek, because you'll see stuff that'll just scar you for life, I'm just saying, but literally, if somebody wears something too revealing, they're showing something that they're showing more than what they should, right? There's all kinds of, you know what the word reveal means. It means to open it up so there is nothing left to the imagination. Nothing left to the imagination. You know what it is. So the very first, second word in here, the revelation. This is the, God's whole purpose in this book is to reveal it to us. So would he try to reveal something to us that we can't get, that we can't understand, that's way over our head? No. We make too much of it. I heard somebody say one time that 90-something percent of the problems in the world are there. They're caused by people who are trying to be important. They're caused by people who are trying to be important. Somebody's trying to be important and say, oh, I know something you don't know. Oh, I got this deep thing right here that you know. Yeah, they're making more out of it than what it is, often, to feel important. I ain't the sharpest marble in the box, so I can't do that. I can only give you what God gives me. And guess what the second word is? What's the second word in this? He's going to reveal something. And to his children is who he's going to reveal it to. We'll see. So I want you to see, don't miss the purpose. We're going to get into some chapters where, oh yeah, those are helicopters, man, with guns on the back. And this is, you know what, maybe it is, maybe it isn't, but don't miss the big point. The big point is even during the tribulation period, God is going to try to get the attention of those who wouldn't come during the time of grace. He's trying to get the attention of those who their world's falling apart and they finally just say, Uncle, I give up. And they get saved and they get martyred right away. So don't miss the point. God's revealing to us, look at this, who Jesus Christ is. Now, I'm going to read a little part more of this. The revelation of Jesus Christ. So what is being, is it the gender reveal of the in utero child you have? No. What is it? Is it what is being revealed to us? Who's being revealed to us? Jesus Christ. Hey, how many of y'all do not have a seminary degree and you can understand that? Right? The revelation of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is going to be revealed to us. How many of y'all are excited about that? Dude, is that not cool? You're going to see the glorified, exalted Christ. That's who we're going to get to meet. That's who we're going to be reminded of that we serve. And that's looking down and he's got our back, man. He's got our everything. He's in front of us. He's behind us. He's in us. It's a revelation of Christ. Look at this. I want you to see this next part because we're going to talk more about Jesus Christ and the revelation in just a second. But look at this. He says, which God gave him. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him. Who's him? Him is Jesus. So God gave Jesus this revelation. It was a gift that God gave Jesus of this revelation, which God gave Jesus to show his servants the things that must soon take place. So God gave Christ a gift that then you're going to see Christ now used an angel and the apostle John to give it to us. But this is a gift that God the Father gave to Jesus Christ so Jesus Christ can show us who he is in his exalted form, because we don't have a lot of that in the New Testament. All right, go ahead to Philippians, if you would, JJ. Philippians 2, verse 9 through 11. You can follow through on this or take notes, take a snapshot. This will probably be on our website. So listen to this. It says, therefore, in Philippians, this is one thing we have, because Christ did what God wanted him to do in being our substitute and our Savior. Therefore, God has, what? What's the next two words? Highly exalted him. God has highly exalted Christ. Well, what does that mean? What does that look like for Christ to be highly exalted? I don't know. All I can compare it to is when we highly exalt each other or something. But he's highly exalted. So where am I going to learn the definition of what highly exalted is? In the book of Revelation. Here's a brief summary of what God has done for Christ. Now, God gave Jesus the book as a gift to give to John and the angel, and they give it to us. You'll see that's coming right along. I'm not making this stuff up. And it's going to fill in. What you got through Philippians chapter 2 is almost like a coloring book page. And then now Revelation is going to color it in and make it beautiful and show us all the details. So God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every other name. Dude, you can read this and bypass it, but when you've got chapters of it in the book of Revelation where God shows you what it is for Christ to be highly exalted and to have a name bestowed on him that's above every other name, you're going to know what that now means. We're going to learn chapter after chapter, verse after verse, of what that means, that God has just made him number one in all of this. Look at verse 10. So he did that so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. One day, every knee is going to bow. Where are they going to bow from? Check this out. They're going to bow in heaven, they're going to bow on earth, and they're going to bow under the earth. Every single person ever created is going to bow down at the name of Jesus because he's been highly exalted because he was our Savior. Amen? That's all we got. That's kind of all we got. We got one more verse here, but this is the coloring book page. Revelation is where God comes in and he just colors it and shows us the beautiful picture. It's not a scary book if you're a believer because Jesus loves you more than anyone could ever love you. But if you're not a believer, you're an enemy. And you should be scared. That's not a reason to get saved. You get saved when you understand how much he loves you. And then you want to love him back. And when you are in love with him, you're saved. You have that relationship, that intimate relationship. So at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow in heaven, on earth, and under the earth. Look at verse 11. And every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is what? In charge. In charge. The boss. The final say. It. Period. He told us in John, I'm the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to Father except by me. We've got all these little verses, but man, here it says every tongue one day. And what we're going to see in Revelation is we're going to see chapters of where this actually happens. How he destroys Babylon, the world system that so many of us are selling our souls to be a part of. But we don't have to. And every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And who gets the glory? Look at this, just like with grace. To the glory of God the Father. Dude, this is the coloring book page in Philippians. And in Revelation, we're going to take chapter after chapter after chapter, not trying to confuse anybody, because the purpose of Revelation is to reveal. Let's try that again. The purpose of Revelation is to? So we're going to reveal. It's not to confuse people, it's to reveal. And what a beautiful thing it is to have the exalted, risen, almighty Christ revealed to us on a daily basis, on a weekly basis. Man, dude, you're going to be so stoked when you find out who Christ really is. When you're reminded of who Christ really is, you won't be scared. Greater is the one that lives in me than the one that's in this world. If God's for me, who can be against me? Now all those verses mean something when you know who Christ really is. So, the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, I want to show you something which God gave him, look, to show his servants the things that must take place. So he's given himself revealing himself. God the Father says, Jesus, go ahead and tell them how awesome you are. Show them how awesome you are through this book. You give it to Angel and give it to John, and through that, they're going to be faithful to give every word, everything, and they're going to have a revelation. Here's some of the names. This is 30 names, all right? Go ahead. Names of Jesus. And honestly, I'm just going to tell you, I've studied, I've looked, and it's everywhere in there. I simply Googled up. No, I duck-duck-goed that. I just said, give me the names of Jesus in Revelation. Here's just 30 of them. But I want you to look at these. We're not going to go over everyone, because we're going to go over them in the book of Revelation when it comes time to go over those and see what those names mean. And the first name is Jesus. Jesus, and it's used in the scripture. Next, he's called Jesus the Christ. Christ means Messiah. They had been waiting. How long have they been waiting? Do you remember when Adam and Eve were in the garden and they sinned? And there was a prophecy that, hey, one day, Eve, your seed, which women don't have a seed, but your seed, that was talking about the virgin birth, your seed will crush the serpent's head and bruise his heel. Prophecy after prophecy, and then later when they were in the garden, you remember in the garden, and what did they do? They Abby, she's a bathing suit manufacturer. She makes bathing suits for surfing girls and all that. And not guys yet, right? Has Marley tried on any of those bathing suits yet? All right, maybe we don't want to see that. But man, what did they make for themselves to cover their sin of going against God? A fig leaf bathing suit. And I understand fig leaves are kind of scratchy and itchy because, you know what, when we try to pay for our own sins, we try to make ourselves uncomfortable to, you know, look, God, what I'm going through, I'm really sorry. Well, God didn't like their bathing suit. God killed an innocent animal and shed its blood, stripped it clean. And while it was the pelt was still full of blood and fat and warmth from life, he put it on them as a picture of one day it will take the death of somebody perfect to cover your sins. And that's my hero. That's Christ. They've been waiting a long time for the Christ to come. In fact, Eve, I can't get into this too far because I got so much to cover, but Eve, what did she name her first baby, y'all? What's that? Cain, right? And Cain means I acquired from the Lord, because she thought the first baby, after she, like, he said it's going to hurt that baby. How many of y'all would vouch for that? I am. I watched it. It hurts. But I'm just saying, man, it hurts that baby. She went through all of that, had the baby, said, I've acquired from the Lord. Thought she was going to get back in the garden. But he didn't get him in because he wasn't the Messiah. Second baby, what'd she name him? And that Hebrew word Abel, in its original form, when she named him that, meant worthless. Why in the world did I go through all that trouble? Why did I go through all that pain to have this baby when it's not getting me back in the garden? They have been waiting for the Christ, the Messiah, every generation, forever. And now we know that Jesus is the Christ. Go ahead, JJ, next one. Christ, there it is. We'll talk about that some more. Go ahead, next one, JJ. Is Christ. Talking about God's Christ. It's God's Christ. It's God's Messiah. He is the one. You don't have to look for another one. He's it. Go on the next one. Oh, I wish Chuck were so here right now. Chuck, you sit right over there with Sue, right over there by Sue. And he's the Almighty. So Sue, play this out. See if you can remember. If he is Almighty, how much might does he have? All the might. If he's got all of it, how much do you have? None. You got none. He's Almighty. Man, we're going to learn about how he is the Almighty. Christ, the one that loves you. The one that loves you more than anyone could ever love you. He is the Almighty. Next one, look at this. The Alpha and Omega. It all starts and ends with him, man. These are the parentheses. Anything that goes on in the world, he's got it covered. The next one, oh, this is good. Man, how many of y'all heard something and you're like relieved and you just go, oh, amen. Amen. What does it mean when we just say amen? It's finally, this is it. You can nail it down. This is it. He is the amen. He is the amen. Look at this next one. He's the beginning and the end. Next one, the bright morning star. Oh, I can't wait till we get to that one. The next one, the descendant or the offspring of David that was prophesied. The next one, he's faithful and true. Oh, that's an awesome one. Faithful and true. And then the next one, JJ, keep going. Faithful witness, meaning that whatever he says, whatever he's done, we can, if he's faithful, he will never let us down. How many of y'all have been let down by a person? Every one of you. How many of you are going to be let down by somebody? How many are going to be let down by me? I guarantee you are, because I'm a human and I'm getting old. Chris Castleman, I got it. I met y'all last week, and I'm like, oh, hey, how's it going, man? I knew y'all looked familiar, dude, but we have intimate conversation last week. We kind of did. Yeah, and I'm like, hey, so who are you guys? Dude, I'm just old, and I was sick last week, but I'm going to lift people down. But now I got it, dude. Chris Castleman, I'm going to pick on you. What's your wife's name again? Say that. Castleman. What's her first name? Heather. Y'all are married? Okay, good. Now we all know. We know Chris and Heather Castleman. Y'all know them, right? They're kind of new too. So if we don't scare you off, welcome to the family. But I will use you as illustrations later today in this. Faithful, are you ever going to do anything to disappoint her? You're going to try not to, but are you ever going to disappoint her? Yes. As much as you love her, as much as you don't want to, as much as you try not to, but Christ will never disappoint us. Man, he's the faithful witness. Look at this next one. First and last. Again, how many times does God have to tell us that there's nothing outside the boundaries of Christ? Anything that goes on is in the boundaries of Christ. It's there. Oh, look at the next one. Firstborn of the dead. We might be talking about that in a couple of weeks. And it's not so much that he was chronologically the first, but he's the most important one. He died and was risen from the dead to show us that we could be risen from the dead. Yeah, man, Chris, I told you I'm going to pick on you, man. You pay attention now, bro. When you're dead and you're laying there, and can you do anything? No, you can't even go, hey, raise me from the dead. You can't do anything. Who are you counting on to raise you from the dead? Christ. And what gives you the reason to believe that Christ could actually raise you from the dead? Help me out. Hey, tell me your name, first name again. What? You changed your name. No, I'm just saying, no. But anyways, what gives you reason to even believe that Christ could raise you from the dead? Anyone? Because he did it himself, yeah? Did he rise from the dead? Yeah. If I'm counting on somebody to raise me from the dead, I want to count on somebody who's already done it, right? And that's what we're going to learn. What an amazing thing to know about Christ and not forget to know. Firstborn of the dead. Oh, look at this. Oh, look at the next one. Husband. Oh, this is awesome, man. And he's our husband. So that makes us his what? His bride. Yeah. We are his bride. Now, we also have that relationship I talked to you about, that father, you know, protecting and so on. But man, he's the most awesome husband. Is he going to protect his bride? You bet he's going to protect it. His bride is a valuable possession. And you know what's so cool about it? Roger, when he looks down at you, does he see you in your current condition right now? He does, but it is, what's he really looking at? He's looking at how you're going to be when he comes back. Every one of us are going to be, what's that P word, y'all? Perfect. Can you believe we're going to be perfect? Again, I say this a lot. Look at the person next to you and see how much work he's got to do. I'm just saying, no, not you, bro. You just disappointed her now, man. I'm just messing with you. You're supposed to look at somebody else's. No, I'm just messing with you. But again, he's our husband. We're the bride. Dude, what a special relationship that is to be the bride of Christ. Now, eschatology, and as far as all this goes, I'm just going to say this once here, and again, we're going to concentrate mostly on what who Christ is in all of this. But my eschatological position is, I do believe personally, through 30 years of studying God's Word, and again, I know there's people who've studied longer than me, and they have different thoughts and so on. I'm going to tell you where I'm coming from and where God has led me. I believe the next great event on the spiritual calendar is the rapture. I believe there is going to be a rapture. It's not the second coming. I believe there's going to be a rapture. Now, people believe there's either going to be one before the tribulation, middle of the tribulation, or after tribulation. I believe that as a bride of Christ, before the earth goes through the most horrible time it's ever going to go through, which is the tribulation period, I believe he's going to rapture his church, which is his bride. I believe we go up. He doesn't come to the planet. He sucks us up like a magnet with metal, man. If you got the Holy Spirit, you're getting brought up, dude. And we have a rapture. I believe we are in heaven at that point, beginning the whole marriage process of 7 years. We will be going through that wedding feast that's going to culminate at the end of the 7 years. But what Revelation concentrates a lot on in chapter 6 through probably 18 or so is what's happening on the earth. And in the earth is going to go through the most horrible time it's ever been going through. You're going to see that it starts out very, maybe for 3.5 years, because Daniel, it gets broken up in half a lot. And so maybe the first 3.5 years, you tell me when we go through it, looks like maybe it might be peace. It might be like, yeah, everything's great. And then all of a sudden at 3.5, it's called the Great Tribulation. And all hell literally breaks loose. And this is a time where the Jews are heavily persecuted, and not because they're Jewish, but because of grace. God is somehow going to restore a remnant and bring a remnant of Jews who believe in their Messiah when he finally comes at the second coming, and he's going to bring them into the kingdom. He's already brought many. The first disciples were Jews. But again, it's a time for Jews. It's a time for people who wouldn't accept grace, the people who were knuckleheads that had to learn the hard way. And when he's destroying the earth, they finally make, you'll see finally like, oh, stop, I quit, I give up. And they get saved and they get immediately martyred. So it's a time for people, they will come, but it's a time where God is destroying this earth. That's what he's going to do for 7 years, is destroy this earth, at least 7.5. He's going to destroy the earth. At the end of that is his second coming. That's when he comes back. And that, and he is going to be visible. We'll even see that in the next few verses that we're not going to get to today. But you can read on that and you'll see. He's going to be a second coming. And he's going to come back at that point. Then I believe there will be a millennial kingdom. There will be 1,000 years of a perfect planet. And we, as believers, will have a perfect body. How many of you have ever had a perfect body on a perfect planet? Karen, how's that gone? Even back in your young Oakland days, did you have a perfect body and a perfect planet? No, you were in Oakland. All right, I'm just saying. No. So one day, I believe there's going to be 1,000-year reign. That's what the Jews were waiting for at that point. And again, if you disagree with this theology, and just listen to what I got to say as we go through this, as we look through this. At the end of that 1,000, and Christ will be reigning physically on that planet. During that time, we will have glorified bodies and we will be serving with him. Our job will be perfect. How many of y'all ever had a perfect job? Pretty close, but not perfect. How many of y'all ever had a perfect boss, a perfect job? You had perfect supplies, perfect instructions. How many of you had a perfect, man, how about when you do something and it actually works out, how many of you are like, oh, that's great? But can you imagine every job we have is perfect because our boss, Christ, God, is perfect. Because our equipment's perfect. Our body's perfect. Our instructions are perfect. And that's what we do. We serve him in perfection for 1,000 years. And at the end of that 1,000 years, we're going to see in chapters 19 and so on, there's going to be a great white throne. Well, Satan is also gone for that 1,000 years. We know that. He's chained up. An angel just chains him up. After 1,000 years, he's set free. And he tries to gather the humans, the people who grew up in the millennial kingdom. He tries to gather them together and say, hey, guys, let's go fight God. He's so deceptive. Right now you're saying, who would go fight God? You guys are idiots. But he's so good at what he does. He convinces the four corners of the earth to come against the people of God. And God just... I want to just say it's a snot rocket. I'm just like, God just goes, and he's gone. He's down. And then there's the great white throne judgment. And in the great white throne judgment that you'll read, what's going to happen? We're going to look at all of this. You can go read ahead. Obviously, it's your Bible. Do what you want. But I'm saying, when you get to the great white throne judgment, he says there's the earth, everything fled away. All there is a throne, and people are going to stand before him. And he's going to open up the books, and he's going to open up another book, which is the book of life. When you give your life to Christ, when you become his child, your name goes in the book of life. But in the books is everybody's works. So people have a choice to be judged by their own works or by what Christ did on the cross and have their name put in the book of life. They have a choice. I made the choice. I don't want to be judged. I got paddled my second day of first grade. I told you in fifth grade, they wrote for me, it behooves you to pay attention during class because by being rude and obnoxious, your fellow students and I are unable to concentrate to full success. Do you think I want to be judged by my works? No. I want to be judged by what Christ did, by his work. And all those that are saved have made that choice. And their name's in the book of life. And in the great white throne judgment, when you open it up, it says, all those that were not found in the book of life, all those that wanted to be judged by their own works, they end up in the lake of fire. Nobody gets in on their works. And then we go to our eternal home, and the last two chapters, man, talks about our eternal home. What an awesome place that will be. That's where I'm coming from. And I'll show you as we go through. I don't want to argue about all of that. What I really want to do is I want us to be excited as to who Christ is. So he's our husband and we're the bride. Amen. Look at the next one. King of ages, nations, and saints. He's the king of all ages. He's not ages like 10, 12, 70, whatever. All time periods, all seasons, he's the king. He's the king of all nations that ever existed. He's the king of the saints, man. Look at the next one. This is my favorite. This is my favorite. King of kings and Lord of lords. That's who I serve. I count on that so often when I'm going through junk in life. I just think, man, dude, my hero, my Christ, he's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. There's nobody higher. As unfair as the political systems can be in all these different countries we're talking and everything, he's still the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and he's got us exactly where he wants us. We need to do what he wants us to do. He's in total control. Don't miss the opportunities God's putting you in. But he's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Look at this next one, King of Ages. And now this is my second. This is my favorite one, actually, right here. Look at this. What name is this, y'all? Lamb. You're going to be blown away. I mean, he is the King of Kings, Lord of Lords. He's God Almighty. He's all of these great things. But do you know how he's referred to? Look at all the references there. Do you know how he's referred to in the book of Revelations more often than not? As the what? The Lamb. As the Lamb. That's his most famous name, the Lamb. What did the Lamb do? He was a sacrifice that took away the sins of the world. Lamb represents love. So all you that want to be surrounded by love, man, that's what heaven is. Heaven is the true definition of love. And Christ is the King of love. He's the Lamb. You're going to see in all these situations, I want you to pick it out. Even maybe take your Bible and circle how many times you see the word lamb as we study it. Why would he call himself lamb here? Because love conquers what? What does love conquer? All. Love conquers all. The lamb. All right, another one, not to be confused with lamb, but the lamp, the light. He lights up everything. Oh, here's for my Rasta friends right here. All right. In case you were wondering, he, Jesus, is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Not Haile Selassie, not the Rastafarian, none of that. Jesus is the Lion of the tribe of Judah, and we'll figure out what that means when we get to that in chapter 5. Next one, Living One. Look at the next one, Lord God. He's Lord God. Jesus never said he's God. Oh, my goodness. Everywhere he says he's God. Look at the next one again, Lord Jesus. Lord means boss. Look at the next one, Root of David. Look at the next one. Ruler, prince of the kings of the earth. Oh, look at the next one. This is another one. Shepherd. Shepherd, which means you're what? What does that mean you guys are? If he's our shepherd, what are you? Help me out, man. Mary, if he's your shepherd, what are you? You're a sheep, yeah? And how many of y'all think sheep are really highly intelligent, skilled, agile animals? How many think just the opposite? They're really dumb and they're clumsy. How many are like, wow, I feel better. I'm in the Bible now. Yeah, that's it. Sheep. The sheep, their whole success of existence, success or failure, has to do with who their shepherd is. Hey, Susie Q, who's your shepherd? Lord Jesus, man. So, like David said, remember that psalm he wrote, 23? He said, the Lord, he's my shepherd. I don't need nothing. How come we don't live that way? Because we need to keep having that drilled into our brains. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We got to see that over and over. If he's our shepherd, we got nothing to worry. I don't care how many lions and tigers and bears. Oh my, come. It doesn't matter. Because he's my shepherd. Amen? So he's my shepherd. Look at the next one. Who is and was and is to come. We'll be hitting that next week maybe. Look at the next one. Here you go. This is why we study the Word of God, because Jesus is the Word of God. It's the Word of God. That's why, you know what, my opinions, my thoughts, my comments, they don't mean anything. Jesus is the Word of God. God's Word is what matters. Amen? Is that in on that? Okay, so look at this. The revelation of Jesus Christ. Okay, so a revelation is what? A revelation does what? It reveals. This revelation is going to reveal to us who? Jesus the Christ, the one everybody's waiting. There's not another one. There's not, you know, there's going to be many Christs coming. In fact, the Antichrist. Oh, my goodness. We're going to learn about the Antichrist when we hit into chapter 6. And you want to know something interesting? Here's something, because how many of y'all worship an Antichrist? Any of y'all recommend, any of y'all say, I worship an Antichrist? But I bet you're guilty just like me. Because you know what Antichrist means? We think Antichrist means, oh, he's Satan, he's the devil, he's totally oppa. No, you know what Antichrist means in the Greek there? It means instead of Christ. Anytime we put a god in front of him, which is called idolatry, anytime we have another god, We make something a god. Our worries, whatever we're worrying about, whatever we can't control, that becomes an antichrist. And so when the antichrist comes, he's coming in, he's going to replace, he's instead of Christ. Doesn't mean he's going to be a bad guy with red tail and pitchfork and whatnot. It's not going to necessarily be, the world might just be like, oh, here's our Savior. In fact, that's what they're going to say. Here's the guy that's going to rescue us from everything. This is good. So be careful that we're not worshiping the Antichrist right now in our lives. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave to Jesus to show who? Help me out. Who is he showing? Servants. So in order to be a servant of God, you got to be born again. So let me ask you a question. How many people in the world who are not born again can understand the book of Revelation? They can't. That's why they make movies called, oh, the apocalypse, which, by the way, is the Greek word for revelation. Apocalypse. Ooh, that sounds scary. So if you're not a born-again believer, guess what? It wasn't written to you. And just like any other part of the Word of God, you can read it and try to find something, but how do we under... Brad, all the way back there, man, thought you were hiding from me today. How is it that we can understand the Word of God? Who enlightens and who gives us the interpretation? Who tells us? The Holy Spirit that lives inside of us. We're at a book signing club. There's the author right there at the same table, and you're reading. Oh, hey, what's that? Oh, yeah. The Holy Spirit, who is God, interprets Scripture for us. You don't know what Scripture means. You don't know what it says unless you're born again and you have God telling you. It's a supernatural book. It's alive. It's relevant. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. We'll learn about the Word of God. But without the Holy Spirit, you can't get it. So is it no wonder, since there's many unbelievers in the church? And I get that from Matthew chapter 7. You've heard me talk about Matthew 7 before. In Matthew chapter 7, you go down towards the end of it, and he says... You know, he's dividing people, sending people to heaven and hell, right? And in fact, he even told us, he said, there's a very narrow gate and there's a wide gate that leads to destruction in Matthew chapter 7. He said, not many are going down that narrow gate and down the narrow path. He said, most people are going down the wide path and the wide gate because they can just have everything they want while they're here on earth. They don't have to just surrender and just be tight and stick with God. He said there's a destructive wide path that most people go down. And then later in that, what he tells us, he starts dividing people. And people are going down the wrong path. They're church people. I'll tell you why I know they're church people in a minute. But they're church people. They're going down the wrong path. They're going to hell. He's sending them to hell. And they're going, wait. Didn't I what? Didn't I do great works in your name? Whoa, didn't I prophesy in your name? Didn't I cast out demons in your name? Didn't I? If you're counting on your righteousness and being from you, what's that called? Self-righteousness. And God hates self-righteousness. Our righteousness has to be Christ's righteousness. Didn't I do this? Didn't I do that? Didn't I? No. You know, Christ never even answers them. Maybe they did, maybe they didn't. But here's what he does say. He said, be gone from me, you workers of lawlessness. But wait, we were doing Christian things in a Christian church. Didn't I? He said, be gone from me, you workers of lawlessness. You and I never had an intimate relationship. You and I never had an intimate relationship. Chris, I'll pick on you again, man. You guys have like, maybe I got to be careful how I say this. Emotionally intimate relationship, right? You know, you guys are together, right? Do y'all hang out together? Or y'all just show up for church together? Rest of the week, you're all on your own, whatever. No, y'all hang out together. You love her? All right, cool. She says, we love each other. I didn't ask her yet, all right? You do love him. Absolutely, y'all love each other. Do y'all hang out together? Do y'all talk? Do you go out? Do you do things together? You have a relationship. Could you imagine if he never hung out with you, in him saying he's got to relate, oh, I love you, but I don't really want to hang out with you. Oh, I love you, but I don't really want anything to do with you. Oh, I love you, but hey, when I die, just make sure everything's taken care of, okay? I'm going to go have my own relationship. That's a lot of what he's talking about. There's people that say they love Christ. There's people that say they're saved, but they don't have an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. But it's been a long time since they talked to him. They don't care. They might seek him out like when it's their last resort instead of their first resort. But he says, "Be gone from me, you workers of lawlessness." And he sends them off to hell. How, again, do I know those are church people? Because you see the world out there casting out demons. You see the world out there saying, "Oh, didn't I do mighty works in Jesus' name?" Do you see the world out there saying, "Oh, didn't I do these things for you?" No, that's the church that's lost. So look at this. No wonder it's so scary. Because who is it that he's going to let understand this? The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show to his what? What's a servant? Lucy, what's a servant? A person who serves. I knew you would have that simple answer, right? A person who serves. Yeah. So if you're serving, not a person who wants to serve, not a person who thought about serving, not a person who, used to serve, right? A servant is a person who's serving. So as you're serving, what do you want me to do now, God? And I do it. What do you want me to do now, God? And I do it. Somebody who's walking in that servant role with him, guess what they get to do with the book of Revelation? They get to understand it. It's to his servant. So is it any wonder that so many professing believers, so many lost people have no clue and they're scared of it? Does that not make sense? If you want to know, you want to serve him. Abby, is that not what you want to do with your business? Is that not what you want to do as Marley's mom? Yeah, you ain't got no choice with Matt having a teenager, right? But I'm just saying, you want to serve him. He's the Lord. He's everything. Do you not think he wants to show you who he is and how awesome he is so you can be like, I don't have to worry about it. I don't know what the answer is. You ever been in that position? I don't know what comes next. But who does? He does. And he comes through. But it's for his servants. That's who understand the book of Revelation. It's not just some oratory exercise. It's not some class you take in seminary or wherever. Ooh, I want to learn about Revelation. I want to learn how it all is. No, it's instructions. It's encouragement for his servants. How many of y'all ever need encouragement when you're serving him? You ever need encouragement when you're serving him? You're like, oh my goodness, how's this going to happen? Oh, I don't even know what's next. He's like, don't worry about it. Take the step I gave you. Take the next step. And I'm going to equip you. Take the next step. And he encourages us as to who he is. How many ever had God? Russ, Rena, you guys ever have God just show up when you're serving him? You're just serving him, doing it, and all of a sudden, God just shows up, and it's like, woo! Yeah, when you're serving him. So look at that again. The revelation, he's revealing who? Jesus Christ, which God gave to Christ to show his who? His servants. The things that must soon take place. I think I'm going to talk about that, and then we'll end this last verse or sentence goes with the next verses, and we'll hit those next week. But it says he made it known by sending his angel to his servant John. So again, God gave Christ this book to show everybody how awesome he is. He then gave it to his angel who gave it to John, and we'll talk more about that next week, but I want to talk about this last part. Revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show to his servants. Don't miss that. The people who want to use it. How many of y'all have ever tried to give people instructions and they don't want to do it? Any bosses? Yeah, you're a boss, right? You ever in construction, right? You ever tell the guys, you go in the work, and you're like, hey guys, this is what we need. I want this painted this way. I want this. And you got it from your boss, right? And then you come back and it's not anything like that. And you're like, what happened? Okay, sit down. Here's what we want. And once you figure out they don't really want to know, do you even feel like going and telling them? No, but you have to. And what you tell them is you're fired. No, but anyway, it's on. But the point is, if somebody doesn't really want to learn, do you really want to tell them? If somebody doesn't want to know to use it, do you want to tell them? Again, if you want to know who Christ is, go serve him, and he will reveal himself to you. Man, I'm going to pick on you guys again. They do lacrosse for Fellowship of Christian Athletes for the entire state of Florida. And in this, have you gotten to know Christ in a way you couldn't have known him if you didn't take on the FCA position in Florida? Every day. But he reveals himself through you serving him. What a beautiful thing. And your faith gets built, but it's through serving. That's how you're going to understand. So to show his servants, look what he's going to show them, the things that must soon take place. All right, so Peter, you know, had people telling him, well, nothing's happened ever since the beginning, this and, you know, well, you know what prophecy says, that's what's going to happen, that you guys are going to say all of this. And every generation has believed Christ is coming back in their day. And that's supposed to be our blessed hope. You read Titus, our blessed hope is to be looking for him every day. And besides, if he doesn't come back, but I die, guess where I go? To be absent from the body, I'm present with who? And that's a good gig. Nobody's going to go to heaven wishing they could come back. I guarantee you that. But we're supposed to be looking for his second coming. We're supposed to be looking for his return in all of this. So he says he's wrote this to reveal Christ and to make it known. Where do we go? The things, to show his servants the things that must soon take place. All right, so the end days. How many of y'all believe we're in the end days? All right, I'll tell you what the end days are, actually. Most of y'all go, yeah, dude, this is crazy. It's getting messed up. Well, the end days, the end time, the end epic, the end season is from the time Christ ascended to the time he comes back. We're a couple thousand years into that. So when people biblically talk about the end times, it's time from when Christ ascended to the time that he actually comes back. We're 2,000 years into that. You got that right there? That's the end times. Now, he never gives us any signs for the rapture. He gives us signs for the second coming. And you know what they are, the earthquakes, the wars, the rumors of wars. We might talk about all this different stuff. But what he says is they're like birth pains. Birth pains, all right? How many of y'all ever had birth pains? Anybody? You have birth pains? You just weren't like, oh, yeah, I don't want to remember that. No, birth pains. I know what birth pains. Boy, I remember when your first time I was really inexperienced, you know, it was our first baby, and I'm really trying to help my wife. She's laying on the table, her feet in the cup holders, you know, and we're hanging out there, and she's got some kind of chart, you know, what is that thing called? Contraction thing, man. It's live. It's on her and all this, and I'm going, hey, honey, here comes a contraction. You know, she's like, I know, the machine was a little late. I kind of figured all this out. But contractions, what do we know about contractions? They get closer together as you get closer to the time of birth, right? So when she told me of our second son, on a Sunday morning where I had two campuses to take care of, and I said, I think my water broke. Should I have told her, hey, you know what, let me finish the day at church and then we'll see how it all happens about 1-2 o'clock this afternoon. Is that what I should have done? No, as soon as her water broke, I'm like, dude, we're getting you to the hospital, man. We're getting there now. I'll call. Well, yeah, because priority is getting that child born. He tells us that signs for the second coming are like birth pains. You start seeing them. And you see them starting to get closer and closer together. And you know how you can tell when they're closer and closer together? When they don't really bother society anymore. Things that used to freak society out now is just common news. They're getting closer together, right? And what else happens with birth pains? Not only do they get closer together, but they get what? More intense. I'm seeing moms out there going, more intense. Yes, more intense. In other words, things are going to get worse, and it's going to happen more frequently. We still don't know when he's going to come, because he says, it's going to get so bad, you think I got to come, and I'm not. Then it's going to get so bad, and you think I got to come, I'm not. But he's actually going to come during a time where everybody's saying, what? Peace and safety. Ah, oh, we got it. And boom, like a thief in the night. A thief in the night. Chris, I'm going to pick on you one more time right there. Peek, a thief in the night. If you are not expecting a thief in the middle of the night, what's going to happen when he shows up? Yeah, you're going to be surprised. You're probably going to the gun safe. He's probably in trouble, right? But if you're waiting for the thief in the night, then there's no surprise when they come. Christ is calling himself a thief in the night. He said those people in his church who are waiting for him. Lucinda, are you waiting for him?
So if he were to come right now on your birthday, or when was your birthday? You know, if he were to come right now, would you be surprised? Or would you be excited? We should be waiting. It's the people that aren't expecting him that are going to be freaked out. Go read all of Jesus' parables about the virgins and all of that. That's what it's about. We're supposed to be looking for it, of when it all comes. It's not gonna surprise us on all of this. But we are living in this time, and we don't know when it's actually going to happen. But here's what this word, look, you're going to see it twice. You're going to see it again in the next couple of verses next week. But he says, the things that must soon take place. This word soon in the Greek is the word taco, not taco. I know y'all are getting hungry, man. I'm going to try to get you out by about 11. Oh, it's 11:06, sorry. No, but taco. It's a word we get tachometer from. We get tachometer from this word. And what does a tachometer do? Come on, gearheads, what does a tachometer do? Yeah, Bob, my main gearhead, what does a tachometer do? It registers the RPMs, right? It's registering the RPMs. And guess what? How many of y'all know how to drive a stick shift? Anybody here know how to drive a stick shift? All right, your parents taught you right. All right, either that or you're so old the other ones weren't around. But anyways, so you got your foot on the clutch, right? And what happens if you just pulled the foot right off the clutch? It's stall out, right? You got to get some RPMs going. And that's what's happening in God's time frame. The RPMs are getting up there. How many of y'all have seen, even since 2020, how many of you have seen the RPMs going up? Anybody? Yeah, they're going up. And the RPMs are up. And when they get to the right the right speed, who gets to determine the right speed in God's timing? God does. When the RPMs get perfect, then what's next? God pops the clutch. What happens when you got the RPMs up and you pop the clutch, bro? You burn rubber, don't you? You can't do that in the automatic very easy, but you burn. Man, so what happens is the RPMs grow. God pops the clutch and boom, it goes down. That's why he says, like a thief in the night, if you're not looking, you're going to be surprised. It's going to happen. We're supposed to know it's going to happen. By faith, believe it's going to happen. And in the end, we know. What do we know? What do we know, guys? That we what? We win. So that's what he says when he goes, it must soon take place. It's going to happen at the end of this age, from the time that Christ ascended to the time he goes, he comes back, his second coming. Where are we in that? The more RPMs you see going in society, the more you see things happening more frequently that freak us out, the more intense they are, the closer we know that it is to his coming. And wouldn't that be cool? If you believe in a rapture, how many of y'all would like to fly right now? Wouldn't that be awesome? Just get sucked out of here right now, flying. That would be cool. But a second coming, when he comes back, everyone's going to see him. And you're going to be very proud to be on that winning team. You're going to let everybody know that's my team. That's my team. So that's what he's going to show us in all of this. And I think we're going to end here because, again, super quick, it's easy. It's a revelation. So, hey, JJ, put that back up for just a second. Can you do that? It's a revelation, all right? And a revelation does what? Let's see how, this is our seminary course right now, man. All right, y'all getting a degree right here. Revelation does what? It reveals. Who's the, put that verse back up, man. There you go. It's a revelation that reveals, it's going to reveal. And who's a better revealer than God? Nobody. And who's he going to reveal to us? Jesus Christ. And he gets to reveal, it's a gift from Christ to reveal to us how awesome he is right now. And by the way, what's he even doing for you right now? How many of y'all know? Gabriel, Kaylin, do you know that he's praying for you right now? Gabriel, when you were in jury duty, were you freaking out a little bit in jury duty? Yeah, man. Did you know who was praying for you while you were in jury duty? Aside from Karen and my wife and other people, you know who the main one that was praying for you? Christ, sitting on the throne, was praying for you. God's for us. Nobody can be against us. So again, he's going to reveal to us in the book of Revelation how awesome Christ is.
But the ones who are going to understand are the ones that are his servants. And he is going to tell us how it ends. And the only thing we really, really, really got to know about how it ends is that we what? We win. Let's pray. Father, I pray that everyone in here is on that winning team. I pray that everyone here has realized that they come into this world as an enemy to Christ because we come in this world as a sinner. None of us have done everything right, and we've all done something wrong. And there's only two ways. One way is for us to pay for it, take the wrath for our sin, the punishment which we are incapable of doing. Even if we spend eternity in hell, we can never give God his glory back. But the way you set it up, through grace, you give us the ability to understand and believe that what Christ did with his perfect life and then dying on the cross is that he paid for our sins, took the wrath, and he wants to exchange his perfect life and give that to us and have us give our imperfect life to him. Father, I pray if there's someone who's never truly just done that, that you'd give them a desire they can't refuse. And Father, for all of us that have done that, Father, we take no credit. It's a gift from you. It's grace. You, Christ, you love us more than anyone could ever love us. But I don't know that we understand that. I don't know that that's what we think about most of the time. But help us, Father, to even just look at this book, to look at the Bible, but look at this book of Revelation and know how much the exalted, risen Christ loves us and what a valuable thing that is. We don't have anything to worry about. That's why you tell us in Philippians to worry about nothing, but to pray about everything, and that's talking to you. Tell you what you would like, what we'd like to see happen. Tell you everything that's on our mind. And with thanksgiving, knowing there's a purpose in everything, we let our requests be made known to you. And then you tell us the peace of God. Not our circumstances changing, but the peace of God, which even we don't understand, will guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. So, Father, I pray that as we preach through this book, you would reveal to us who Christ is so we can always have peace, knowing who's got our back and our eternity. And I pray for these things in Jesus' name. Amen.